This is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Bob Edwards. Latest reports out of North Korea put the death toll in yesterday's railway disaster at 150. More than 1,000 people were injured. Hundreds of homes were destroyed, causing a Red Cross spokesman, John Sparrow, to express concern that the number of casualties will grow.
Our conclusion from those figures is that the casualty numbers may well increase as the evening wears on. Those figures indicate, obviously, a scene of great destruction. One of the things we are moving on immediately, and my colleagues are moving on this, is getting shelter material from our relief center to the people.
The scope of the disaster is not clear. 24 hours after the accident, the reclusive North Korean regime has provided almost no details. NPR's Rob Gifford is in the Chinese town of Dandong on the border with North Korea. What's the latest there, Rob?
Well, the latest we've heard is a change in the reason being given for the explosion. Talking to aid workers and diplomats in Pyongyang, we've learned that the North Korean government has told them that what happened was not two trains carrying gas and oil, as reported yesterday, but two cars of a train carrying dynamite. And they were moving this train underneath some power cables, some electric wires above the track. They caught hold of the power cable, and that sparked the dynamite to explode, causing the devastation that has damaged the city of Yongchon, about 15 miles away from where I am now.
Well, that would explain so much destruction over a wide area.
That's right. I mean, this was apparently two whole carriages of a train that contained dynamite. And the Red Cross have said that thousands of homes have been destroyed. This is a city of 130,000 people. And really, the North Koreans, I think, are going to be struggling to deal with this kind of devastation.
Will North Korea be able to handle this number of casualties without outside help?
Well, I don't think they will, and that's why they have invited a lot of aid agencies, including the United Nations as well, tomorrow, Saturday, to go up to this site and to assess the damage and for them then to present to their headquarters around the world the needs of North Korea in trying to deal with this, because North Korea is a desperately poor country. It's totally isolated. It's cut off from the rest of the world. It has almost no economy to speak of, and its medical facilities are very, very rudimentary. So it's going to need all the help it can get, but it's also a little bit reluctant to ask for help because it's still very proud about its communist ideals.
This accident took place on a major rail line between Beijing and Pyongyang. Has rail traffic been affected?
Well, rail traffic seems to have resumed, actually. Talking to some people in Beijing and Pyongyang, they say that the Beijing to Pyongyang train today went through, and yesterday, in fact, the Pyongyang train to Beijing went through on this track. So there was some confusion as to how serious this explosion actually was after the initial reports came through. Of course, this is the track also on which Kim Jong-il, the leader of North Korea, came through from Beijing to Pyongyang just hours before this explosion took place. Some people had speculated that this may have been an assassination attempt. I think most people are counting that out, but it did seem quite coincidental.
The rail line was built by the Japanese, which occupied Korea until 1945. What's the condition of North Korea's infrastructure?
Well, like everything, I think it's probably near to collapse. These trains apparently going in and out of North Korea don't go more than about 30 or 40 miles per hour. That may be a reflection of a lack of fuel. It may be a reflection of the decrepit state of the actual lines themselves. But wherever you go in North Korea, I've only visited Pyongyang myself, the capital, and that is bad enough. There's just no infrastructure. There's almost no cars. There's nothing. And they say that Pyongyang is a paradise compared with the rest of the country.
NPR's Rob Gifford in Dandong, China, at the Chinese-North Korean border.